This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2023, held at Pleasant View School in Arcola, Illinois, on March 3 and 4.
As I think of the last 17 years, I'm not sure, I think maybe Jonas may be the only original member on the CASB committee. All the rest have changed over the years, if I remember correctly. And I would like to thank the committee for putting this together. It's a lot of work to get topic speakers, and a big thank you to the committee for the efforts you put into this. Also thank the hosting community. I know as well how much work you put into this, and I want to thank you for that. There's, it's good to see the ladies that are here and the support you give your husbands. My testimony is if there's any success that I have in life in general, I owe that to my wife and the support she is to me. So thank you to the ladies here for supporting your husbands in their work. How many of you are new board members here this morning? The first new board members, the first time you're ever here. How many are here for the first time? There's a substantial amount. Glad to see you here. This event can be a huge blessing to you. A question for all of you. How many of you are excited about your responsibilities in the Christian school? If anybody didn't raise your hand, I hope till tomorrow afternoon you'll get your hand up. I really hope so. The work of Christian Day School, being on a school board, being in administration, it's exciting. It really is exciting. It's an important work. I don't know, there's probably different ways that you got to that place on the school board or in administration. But all of us are stewards of a gift, the gift of Christian education. We are servants of the communities and brotherhoods that elected us to fill that position. And I think it's important that we remember that we're servants and that we operate in humility. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." Will we be faithful in our responsibility? Protection to provision. A few hundred miles from here in Iowa, in the 1960s, the local board, Owine County, I believe it was trying to persuade the Amish folks there that they needed to send their children to the public school. They had made a law that all the Amish schools were supposed to go to the public school. And the Amish refused to send their children to public school there. And as they, the local authorities were trying to decide how to handle this situation, the Department of Education in Iowa told the local board that they're supposed to actually go out and round up these school students with buses and bring them into the public school. One day, I think it was in October, 1965, these buses showed up at an Amish school to load these children up and take them back to the public school. They showed up at Hickory Grove School. And as the officials tried to herd these students onto the school buses that they had there, one of the parents was there. Maybe there was more than one parent there. One of the parents screamed, "Run!" And the children scattered into the surrounding cornfields. And there's pictures of that on the internet. And as I thought of that, the emotions that, you know, the parents probably had, that the children probably had, no one knew quite sure what was going to happen. But they scattered into the cornfields. They went through the fences into the cornfields, and they were not able to take these students back to the public school that afternoon. But there was actually some news reporters there that got pictures, took the pictures of these students running into the cornfields. And these pictures were published in newspapers all over. And there was a strong public outcry against the Department of Education and the requirement to send the Amish to the public school. And through that, they were granted permission to have their own schools. They interviewed recently, a few years ago, they interviewed the school superintendent that was responsible for trying to round the students up, and he said that if he had it over to do with, he would quit his job before he would try to fulfill the orders. And he said that he's convinced that if those Amish parents would have been told that they would be shot for not sending their children to school, he is sure that they would have sat there and been killed. He was convinced of that. And the question for us this morning is, how strong is our commitment to Christian education? You know, the cost that they faced for their refusal to send to school, they were given fines and they refused to pay the fines. There was at least 8 of the Amish fathers that spent time in jail. There was authorities came out and cleaned out corn cribs. They came out and they took one family, they took 3 of the hogs that they had. And I'm guessing that this was their livelihood, this was their provisions for winter. It was part of their food supply. So the cost was high. But the question is, what were they trying to protect? From protection to provision. They were trying to protect something. They recognized that if their children went to public school, they would probably lose a lot of them to society, to the world. They were trying to protect their way of life. They were trying to protect their faith. And as I think about protection, you know, faith and family, you know, those are really foundations to Christianity, faith and family. And I think it's important when we think about protection that we're protecting the foundations. Isaiah 58, 10 to 12. "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul and draw it, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou draw out thy soul," are you willing? It could also read, "If thou spend or pour out." Those of you who have been on boards, school board, before for for a while, you know that it takes some spending. You know that it takes some pouring out. You know that it takes some energy. And are we willing to spend? Are we willing to be spent? Our light shall arise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. Will our families and our communities will able to be a light, like a light on a hill? We will be able to be a light to the community around us that's getting darker every day. If we follow God's directions, we'll be like a watered garden. Is your school flourishing? God wants it to. Whose waters fail not, like a spring of water. I am a mason contractor by trade. I spent a lot of time the last 35 years building and repairing foundations. And I'm from a part of the country where in the early 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s, the German immigrants in that area built stone houses, stone barns. And there's a lot of these stone barns that are still standing. Beautiful stone barns, but there's a lot of them that have foundation problems because of neglect. Some of them have the weeds are growing up around them. The vines are growing on them, and a lot of them, the gutters and downspouts are in disrepair, missing completely, and that destroys the foundation. That water down beside the foundation wall destroys it. You know, these old barns are obsolete with the way farming is done today. Equipment's too large to fit in. The ventilation is very poor for cattle. The amount of cattle that we have in barns today. Just a similarity to the foundations of our schools and our schools. The foundations are important, and the rains and storms of life and community can erode the foundations of our school. At least in Lebanon County, PA, they can, and they do. And I'm sure you find that where in your community as well, how that can happen. And as important as the foundations are, by only focusing on the foundation, our communities will miss out on a lot of blessing and value that Christian education can bring to the family, to the church, and to our communities. You know, all communities and schools will need to work on the foundations from time to time. And if that's where you are, I ask that you do that job well. But let's move past, can we provide more than just protecting the foundations? And I think we can. Provision. Provision has the idea of equipping or preparation. A couple questions here. What are some ways that we can provide or equip our students? How can we make sure that those old beautiful barns don't become obsolete? Can we build on the foundation of our Christian schools and give value to the kingdom? As leaders of your school, you provide direction to the school. I hope you do. Sometimes we, school board meeting, we talk about things that are urgent. And how much of the time do you spend on things that are urgent? I think if we can have some time at our meetings to talk about important things and get the important things done, there won't be so many of those urgent situations that need our attention. What is the mission of your school? What is the vision of your school? One of the nature of school is the revolving board members, the revolving people who are leading the school. And sometimes we see schools that struggle because of that. You have a group of people who have a vision for the school, and they work hard to put things in place, and then 10 years later, 15 years later, you have a group of people there who it seems like their idea is a little different, and that they kind of undo what earlier boards and leaders were trying to implement. And I think it can help if we have our vision written down, and we can use our vision, we can use our mission to direct and to lead. Do you know where you want your school to be 5 years from now? In a practical way. I will, in talking about provision, some of the things we can provide, I will talk about some of the things that we do at our school, and this is in no way means that we have it all together. We have our struggles as well. But I'd like to share some things that we do to provide, to help. Our vision statement, the main thrust of our vision statement is to prepare kingdom builders. That's what we're about. That's what we strive to do with the things, the activities that we do from day to day. At school, we teach beliefs, we model values, and we build habits. And a lot of these things that I talk about in providing don't have a formal curriculum. There's not necessarily a written curriculum for it. It's things that we all value and we want for our students, but we need to be intentional about it. Gary Miller gave a talk a few years ago on hidden curriculum and informal curriculum. And I suggest you all log on to the Doc for Learning and listen to it and re-listen to it. It's an excellent resource for evaluating school culture. And if you're not using the Doc for Learning, you should. There's a lot of value there for Christian day schools. Developing character traits. Good character traits will never become obsolete. We live in society where common courtesy, respect, decency is fast disappearing, or has disappeared. And we live in a society where students wear t-shirts to school that say, "I'm not shy, I just don't like you." And it gets worse. It's only downhill from there. And we have an opportunity as schools to assist our parents in reinforcing the values and the teachings that our parents teach at home. I'm sure all of our parents are teaching courtesy, respect. That's their desire. But as the students come to school, we have an opportunity to reinforce that and to help teach that in very practical ways. Learning respect. At school, we can respect people who are different. We can respect different ideas. Students all come from different homes, different households, different fathers, different rules, and they come to school and they can learn to give and take. They learn to respect different ideas, different ways that people do things. They learn to respect others' property. There are probably opportunities to take our children on into the community to do work for needy people in the community, learning to look out and to help needy people. You might be able to do that during a shop class or a home ec class period. School was an excellent place to teach leadership roles. How can you teach students to lead at school? There's a few things that we do at our school that I think helps with that. One of the things we do is we have what we call buddy group, and all of the high school students are assigned students from the rest of the school for their group. So each high school student has four or five other students from the school that they're responsible for during certain times. Chapel time, they sit together as their buddy groups. So the high schooler is helping the first grader with finding the songs, finding the reference in the Bible, and things like that. Learning to lead in their groups when they have days that they go on hikes or things like that. The buddy group leader is in charge. They're responsible for their group. Another way that we try to build leadership qualities is in student devotions. We have, I think, three times a month, we have students that lead out in devotions. High schoolers, one Friday of the month, the boys are responsible for a boys' devotional, and the girls are responsible for girls, all the girls in the school. They lead out, they lead singing, and that has been a big blessing to the church. These students learning how to have a devotional, learning to share with confidence and with humility. We notice a difference at church in the devotionals, the quality of the devotionals at church. It's been a blessing for us. Commitment, the commitment to truth, the commitment to service, a commitment to healthy relationships. We all know how messy relationships can be, and school is a good time to build, to help students learn to work through the messiness of relationships. Developing skill sets is another way that we can provide. Today, Anabaptist circles are losing the practice of younger generations working alongside the older generation. That model has been a blessing for a long, long time. That's a model that works well. But we don't have the family farms like we used to. Boys can't go along with their dads to work like they used to. And we have too many moms that want to sell Tupperware and lemongrass and Norway. Instead of teaching their children, their girls, the qualities, the skills that are necessary for our lifestyle. So the opportunity for someone to come in and teach girls how to sew. Not all moms like to sew. Not all moms know how to sew. Can we provide in that way? Someone who likes to sew, someone who does a good job with it, crafts, hospitality and cooking, You know, hospitality is an important value for Christians. And to be able to, again, someone who is talented in that area, teaching the younger generation how to do those types of things, there's a lot of value there. Teacher apprenticeship. I don't know how many of you have that type of a program at your school, but this is one that I feel is really, really big. Teacher apprenticeship. I'm sure your schools, like our school, you know, the need for teachers takes a lot of time and effort, and it should. It's important. But to be able to have a program where boys and girls can learn how to teach, and when they come to that age and they get asked to teach, they have an idea how it needs to be done. There's, in business, we don't hire new people and make them that responsible like we do at school. But this is a great way to prepare teachers. And it has been a blessing at our school. The amount of teachers that have come back to teach for us at our school. We still look all over the country for teachers, probably like everybody else does. But it's a blessing to be able for our students to actually go to other schools as well and teach there and be a blessing in other communities. You know, for the boys, we have a rotating schedule for electrical, small engine repair, woodworking, welding. And it gives opportunity for these young boys to learn how to do some of these skills. I don't know how to weld. If I weld, it doesn't look very good. And it usually don't last very long. But two of my boys were able to take welding class at school, so if there's any welding that needs done on the farm, the boys do it, and it's a blessing. We have had boys who have taken electrical class that went on, and that's what they do for a living. They grew up on farms, but it was the interest that they developed with an electrical class that gave them the desire to do what they're doing now. A lot of these things take more effort, they take more cost to provide. And oftentimes it falls to the board members for some of these, especially on the shop class side of it, providing transportation for students to a welding shop for those types of things. But it brings value. It takes more effort, it costs more, but it brings value. In closing, your work as school leaders has the potential to influence future generations. Lean into the responsibility. Do the difficult things, protect the foundations, and lead into the future. Be unapologetically enthusiastic about your school and Christian education. Enthusiasm begets enthusiasm. And I want to leave you with the blessing in Genesis 27:28a. Therefore, God give you of the dew of heaven. God bless.
Thank you for listening. For additional recordings produced by the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee, visit The Dock for Learning at www.thedockforlearning.org.